The Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a motion has been passed by Donegal County Council, which is again calling for a public inquiry into the Creasa tragedy 3 years ago, with Councillor Frank McBurty urging families to begin confronting Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan. Gardaí remain at the scene of a multi-vehicle crash in County Meath, which claimed the lives of two men this morning. The ATU's veterinary medicine programme has officially been launched by the Minister for Further and Higher Education, James Lawless, and a nun who is born in Donegal is urging people in power to do what they can to rescue over 250 abducted school pupils. These stories and full plus more to follow. We'll have the latest sports news at around 4:15. But first, a motion has been passed by Donegal County Council, which is again calling for a public inquiry into the Creasa tragedy 3 years ago, with Councillor Frank McBurty urging families to begin confronting Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan. Councillor McBurty, backed by Councillor Thomas Sean Devine, moved the motion, heading out at the Minister for taking 10 months to reply to last year's motion. The reply repeated the view that a separate public inquiry would compromise the ongoing criminal investigation. However, this has been rejected by Councillor McBurty, who says there was a legal precedent set by the Morris Tribunal almost 24 years ago.
When the Morris Tribunal was established on the 28th day of March 2002, you had ongoing criminal investigations in the District Court and Circuit Criminal Court. You had ongoing civil litigation cases in the High Court injunction cases, the Shane Murphy Senior Counsel investigation, the Garda Complaints Board, and the Morris Tribunal, all running side by side. None of them can interfere with each other. A public inquiry investigates everything, as where the other investigations do not disclose to the victims or to the state the actual findings of those criminal investigations, as where a public inquiry investigates everything and publishes everything after they make their findings. I've already advised the families. They need to start doing what I did. I confronted the Minister for Justice, Michael McDougall, on many occasions, which was covered by this radio station. I did it at the SDLB conference. I did it at the McGill Summer School. And I did it in Dublin outside the Department of Justice. That is what's needed now. All the agencies of the state have questions to answer to why this tragedy actually happened. It shouldn't have happened.
Your motion at Donegal County Council has been passed today. Do you have any confidence that Minister Jim Callaghan will take note of that and will act on that?
No, in another year's time I'll be resubmitting this, and I'll probably be getting the same response back from the Minister. I call this political filibustering at its best. And the bottom line is, we need a full transparent investigation, and the only way that will happen is by way of a public inquiry.
Gardaí remain at the scene of a multi-vehicle crash in County Meath, which claimed the lives of two men this morning. A number of people were injured in the collision in Gormanstown involving a lorry, a bus and a car. Ellen Butler is there.
A busy stretch of the R132 between Balbriggan and Julianstown remains sealed off this evening. Two men, the driver of the lorry, aged in his 40s, and the driver of the bus Éireann Route 101 service, aged in his 50s, died at the scene following this three-vehicle collision at around 6:30 this morning. A woman in her 40s and a teenage girl who were travelling in the car are in a serious condition in hospital. A number of passengers on the bus were taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Local Sinn Féin TDs Darren O'Rourke says the community is shocked and saddened.
To wake up to this news in East Meath this morning, a couple of men on their way to work or out at work, and to lose their lives tragically on the roads, it's devastating.
Forensic specialists continue to examine the scene this evening, and Gardaí are appealing for witnesses. Ellen Butler in Gormanstown, County Meath.
The ATU's veterinary medicine programme has officially been launched by the Minister for Further and Higher Education, James Lawless. The event has brought together senior university leadership, faculty and regional stakeholders, including representatives from local and cross-border education bodies, county councils, senators and TDs. President of the ATU, Dr. Orla Flynn, says the programme is a massive step forward for the county.
It represents a seismic shift for the sector to see a programme in veterinary medicine and surgery being offered And I think back to over 50 years since we were established as regional technical colleges, and to see this medicine and surgery program happening, it's a great day.
It's nearly 2 years since Simon Harris came here as Minister for Further Education, and indeed he was shown the veterinary department, the veterinary nursing department, as right. It was, and he was very solidly and very vociferously petitioned that day. It's great 2 years on to be where we are.
Well, it is, yeah, and I think that our bid originally stood on its own merits, and I think the fact that we had such a strong collaboration between Montbeliu Agricultural College, where we run a lot of our programs in agriculture, and the expertise here in Donegal, I think the idea that the technological university could come together, put in a really credible bid, and pay big tribute to Joanne and her team. So delighted with that.
Meanwhile, Minister Lawless says this will also give a boost to the agricultural sector.
This is a really exciting day. It's the first veterinary school outside of Dublin. We have 40 students will be starting here in September 2026, along with another 40 in SETU down in Waterford. Those two schools collectively mark the first university education for vets outside of ECD in the history of the state. So it's really transformative. It's all about investing in regional growth as well. Obviously, there's a huge agri sector here in the northwest, everything from farms right through to the agri economy, and the skills are badly needed. So this gives an option closer to home. It's also an investment in ATU and the Technological University as a centre of excellence, led by Professor Pollock, who is now the clinical lead on the programme. And I want to credit Minister Charlie McConnellogue, who got the ball rolling on this when he was in his time in agriculture, really started the programme collectively with my department. So delighted to be here today. It's my second time in Letterkenny in nearly as many weeks. I was turning the sod on the new student building here just a few weeks ago. And good to be back and continuing to invest in Donegal and the North West.
A nun who is born in Donegal is urging people in power to do what they can to rescue over 250 abducted school pupils. Over 300 were taken from a secondary school in Nigeria. 50 of them have escaped from their captors. They are abducted from St Mary's Catholic School in Papery. Manor Cunningham native St Sister Mary T. Barron is Superior General of the Missionary Sisters of Our Lady of Apostles, which runs the school. Speaking from Ghana on today's 9 till noon show, she says there is a feeling of powerlessness among the sisters, but they hope that by highlighting the plight of the missing girls, they hope those who do have influence will act.
We feel quite powerless, you know, in situations like this when somebody's kidnapped. It's very difficult not having the power to do anything. My hope is, yes, we pray for their safe return, but also the more we get this into the public eye, people who do have power, people who do have influence, can perhaps put pressure on people who can make an impact and who can help and who can really keep the eyes on this situation, because in 2 or 3 days it'll be out of the news, and this, please God, they'll be returned before then.
It's expected more narwhals could be detected in Irish waters. That's according to Padraig Hooley, sightings officer with the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group, who is speaking to Highland Radio News following the discovery of the body of a female narwhal at Sweet Nellie's Beach in Inishowen last week. It was the first ever narwhal found in Ireland and only the third in Europe since 1949. Mr. Hooley says climate change means that Arctic habitats and populations are being fragmented, and that's one of the reasons that Donegal is seeing a huge increase in whale sightings and strandings.
You've got fragmentation of habitat, and that results in fragmentation of populations. And you get individuals such as this animal that end up in the strangest of places. We've had beluga whales, we've had walruses, we've had bowhead whales, all of these species in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. So it's not that unusual to find Irish waters playing host to these, what we call, extra-limital Arctic vagrants.
Would you expect that once we've seen one, we will see more?
May well do, yeah. People talk about a walrus turning up in Irish waters was a once in a century event, and you know, now we're seeing walruses, you know, every decade or so. This trend towards climate change and degradation of Arctic habitat, it's only going one way, so we've no reason to believe that it won't. And of course, it's not the members of the public as well, citizen scientists reporting these animals. I mean, this was obviously reported to us as a dolphin, but now now maybe the people, and including the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group, now we have narwhal firmly fixed in the back of our heads. Every time you go out on a boat in places like Donegal Bay to see the amazing whale activity that there's been in Donegal Bay, I mean, my God, it is remarkable. I live in West Cork, and West Cork was the hot spot for whales and whale watching in Ireland. We've lost our whales now. Many of our whales, and in particular the likes of the spectacular ones like the humpback whales, those same individuals that we were watching here in West Cork 25 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, they are now appearing between Mullagh Moorhead and St John's Point and the outer reaches of Donegal Bay.
Donegal County Council is being asked to provide details of how much money each municipal district is spending to maintain social housing units suspected of being affected by defective concrete. The question is being asked by Councillor Brian Carr, who says it's unfair that money to do this is coming from the council's own housing budget in the absence of a government-backed scheme for affected social homes. At a recent meeting of Glenties MD, Councillor Carr was told by officials that between painting and other necessary works, over €1 million has been spent on DCB homes already. Councillor Brian Carr says that money must be recouped from government.
It was brought up that funds has been used to keep people in the houses, and there was works being done, painting, filling the cracks and all that. That money is coming out of the housing fund. And that means that other houses, council houses or social housing, is suffering because this money has to be given to houses with DCB. I'm looking that if there is money spent on houses, until the government put a proper plan and process, that the government will refund every MD this money they spent on these houses.
The problem is, even if it does agree to do so, and that's very, very questionable, yeah, it'll be a long time before that money comes in. And in the meantime, we're hearing, for instance, there's four houses in this MD that are going to need 100,000 spent on them between the four. That's just four houses in one MD. What the countywide picture is like almost doesn't bear thinking about.
Yeah, it doesn't bear thinking about, as you say, four houses in this Glenties MD, and we're not the worst, we're by far no way close to being the worst with the defective concrete block. So the money has to come. The government has to put something in place now so that if MDs spend money out of housing budgets, painting budgets or anything like that, that they can recoup that from the government some way. And hopefully that the government, as you say, could take a long time, but at least that there's something in motion that the money can be refunded back to the MDs.
The time is coming up to 12 minutes past five. We'll be back after this short break.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Give the perfect gift this Christmas with a gift card from michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time is 5:15. Chris Ashmore's here with the latest sports news.
Thanks, Kitty. We begin with soccer. Manchester United boss Ruben Amorim still isn't willing to get carried away by their current run of form. They host Everton tonight in the Premier League, looking to extend their 5-match unbeaten run, and they could go level fourth. After a year in charge at Old Trafford, Amorim says he's more prepared now to face any future setbacks that may come their way.
I think it's also my job, especially in our club, to always have that feeling. That gives me the sense of urgency in every training that I have. Then, again, playing every game in Premier League, you can sense that everything can change so fast because all the teams can win.
Well, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola says he's apologised to the cameraman he confronted following their 2-1 Premier League defeat at Newcastle over the weekend. The Spaniard was left frustrated by key refereeing decisions that he felt didn't go their way. Guardiola admits his behaviour after the loss left him feeling ashamed. And Chelsea boss Enzo Maresca says that Cole Palmer will be available to play again for them soon. The England international suffered a setback in his recovery from a groin injury when he fractured his toe in an accident at home last week. And Rangers have sacked Chief Executive Patrick Stewart and Sporting Director Kevin Thewell. The pair have been the target of intense supporter anger after a poor start to the season and a much criticised summer recruitment drive. Well, here in Donegal in the Oscar Traynor Cup, the Donegal Junior League will have a 3-2 lead going into the second leg against the Inishowen Junior League when the sides meet again in Buncrana next month. Yesterday, they served up a hugely entertaining game despite the dreadful weather. The Donegal League had a flattering 3-0 halftime lead, but Inishowen pulled two goals back in the second half. to Australia, and Donegal's Niamh McLaughlin and four other Irish players have been included in the AFLW's All-Australian team for 2025. The former Donegal Senior Ladies captain and LGFA Player of the Year for 2022 has just finished her second year in Australia, and this year became the first male or female full-time Irish captain down under as she took over the skipper's role for the Gold Coast Suns. Dublin's Jennifer Dunn, Dania Finn of Mayo, Fermanagh's Blaheen Bogue and Anya McDonough of Galway are also on the team. And in Gaelic games, the refixed Ulster Senior Football Championship semi-final meeting of Scotstown and Newbridge has been scheduled for next Sunday at the Box IT Athletic Grounds in Armagh at 4 o'clock, with a pitch inspection due to take place after Sunday's Ulster Senior Club hurling final between Slotnil and St John's. Should the pitch be deemed unfit for the game, then Brewster Park and Kingspan Breffni are on standby to host the tie. Yesterday's game at Healy Park was abandoned at halftime due to the weather. The final, which Kilcoo have already qualified for, is also being pushed back by 6 days to the evening of Saturday, the 13th of December. And the final DL debate of the season takes place this evening on Highland Radio. Brendan Devenny will be joined by Brendan Kilcoyne, Padraig Hilferty, Michael McMullen and Maureen O'Donnell to look back at the highs and lows of 2025 and also to look ahead to next season. That's the last DL debate of this year and it follows the 7 o'clock news. And in the Higher Education Freshers Football League Division 2, ATU Donegal take on DCU in a semi-final at the Donegal GAA Centre in Convoy this evening at 6 o'clock. Meanwhile, ATU Donegal are scheduled to face Queen's University in a rescheduled Higher Education Senior Hurling League Division 3 game in Owen Beg at 7:30. And in athletics, it was a big day on the cross-country calendar with national championship action at several levels in Derry yesterday. One of the highlights being Finn Valley's senior women's team, consisting of Amy Green, Eilish and Roisin Flanagan, Nolene Scanlon, Emer McCarroll and Nuala Boss. They claimed national silver medals in really tough conditions. And in motorsport, it's been confirmed there will be a 66-strong entry for the Killarney Historic Rally next weekend. Six BMW M3s feature in the top 10, setting the stage for what could be a super battle. Defending Killarney Historic Rally winners Donna Kelly and Rory Kennedy will be hoping to repeat their triumph of 2025. In hockey, Raphoe Ladies' first team are up to second in the Ulster Ladies Senior 1 Division after a 3-0 defeat of Ballymena. And in rugby, Leinster have confirmed that Ryan Baird will be out of action for up to 3 months. In racing, finally, jockey Dylan Kitts has been banned for 9 years by an independent British Horse Racing Authority disciplinary panel. They found that Kitts attempted to prevent Hilson from winning a race at Worcester in July 2023. And that, Katie, is your Monday evening sport.
Thanks, Chris. Proposed variations to the County Development Plan 2024-2030 will go to public consultation from the first week of January. The four-week consultation will allow people to comment on the changes which are being suggested, along with the associated environmental report, Natura impact report, strategic flood risk assessment report and local transport plans. The Irish Road Hauliers Association says the fact that there are now almost 10,000 learner permit holders in Donegal points to a crisis. Freedom of information figures obtained by the association from the Road Safety Authority show that 3,120 of the learner permit holders in Donegal are aged between 17 and 20, 60 are aged between 70 and 79, and 15 are over the age of 80. The IRHA says over the past 6 months, the number of permit holders nationally has risen by 12,000 to just over 394,000. Association President Ger Hyland says the RSA has questions to answer.
The Irish Road Haulage believe that the RSA is not fit for purpose. The RSA are talking about Vision Zero. We have more deaths on our roads up until last weekend, and we have more deaths again this week. Doesn't it beggar belief to say that over 10% of the drivers on Irish roads today are on some form of a learner permit?
Two men have been arrested in Derry for a variety of suspected drug and road traffic offences after they were detected in a wooded area of Grantia by a police dog. The arrest came after a badly damaged car was dumped. Don Ray Doherty has more.
Police say after a loud bang was heard by officers on an unrelated call, parts of a vehicle were located on the Skaglink Road area, and a short time later police identified and located a heavily damaged vehicle that had been dumped in Grantia. In a social media post, they say the driver and passenger attempted to hide, but they were located by the police dog. They say the vehicle had been driven for a prolonged period on only three tyres, and it's only by good luck that nobody was seriously injured.
The Minister for Finance has introduced a law which will enable sustained access to cash. The orders being signed by Taoiseach Simon Harris today ensure an ATM machine is located within 10 kilometres of most homes and businesses. He claims the measures will have an impact in rural areas. CEO of Irish Rural Link, Seamus Boland, says cash is still king.
There's a possibility that governments in new guidelines to all communities will be saying you have to keep some cash available. So that to me shows that we have to be prepared for those events. Cash is still king. Cash is what matters. Nothing dominates it.
And now for the weather. A cold night with long clear spells. It will be mostly dry apart from a few showers feeding in from the north. Low temperatures of -1 to 4 degrees. To conclude this evening's bulletin, a motion has been passed by Donegal County Council, which is again calling for a public inquiry into the Cresa tragedy 3 years ago, with Councillor Frank McBurty urging families to begin confronting Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan. Councillor McBurty, backed by Councillor Thomas Sean Devine, moved the motion, hitting out at the Minister for taking 10 months to reply to last year's motion. The reply repeated the view that a separate public inquiry would compromise the ongoing criminal investigation. Gardaí remain at the scene of a multi-vehicle crash in County Meath which claimed the lives of two men this morning. The collision involving a bus, a lorry and a car happened in Gormanstown at around 6:30. The bus driver, a man in his 50s, and the lorry driver, a man in his 40s, died at the scene. The ATU's veterinary medicine programme has officially been launched by the Minister for Further and Higher Education, James Lawless. The event has brought together senior university leadership, faculty and regional stakeholders, including representatives from local and cross-border education bodies, veterinary practices, county councils, senators and TDs. And a nun who was born in Donegal is urging people in power to do what they can to rescue over 250 abducted school pupils. Over 300 were taken from a secondary school in Nigeria. 50 of them have escaped from their captors. They are abducted from St Mary's Catholic School in Papery. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with the headlines at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, November 24th. The death has taken place of Reverend Dr. Martin Marty David McNeely, late of Ballykeel and Fawn Presbyterian Churches. After a private interment, a service of thanksgiving for the life and witness of Marty will be held in Connor Presbyterian Church, Carncombe Road, Kells, Ballymena on Wednesday at 12:30. Family homes private, no flowers please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, may be made payable to James Henry Funeral Services, 100 Broshane Street, Ballymena, for Christian Union Ireland and Christ in Sport. The death has taken place of Margaret Gusty Alcorn, Cleggan, Hornhead, Dunfanaghy, County Donegal, reposing at her home until 9 o'clock this evening for family and neighbours. Wake tomorrow from 11 a.m. till 9 p.m. Everyone welcome. Funeral service in Holy Trinity Church, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Clondahorkey Cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Saoirse O'Doherty, Mossy Glen, Leckamy. A private cremation for Saoirse will take place at Lakeland's Crematorium Cavan at a later date. The death has taken place of Phyllis Shields, Nee McHugh, 6 McMahon Villas, Letterkenny. Reposing at the Eternal Light Funeral Home, Carnamugga, Letterkenny until 7 o'clock this evening. Removal at 7 o'clock to St Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny for prayers and to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Burial afterwards in New Lech Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on Church Services TV. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Jimmy Heron, Eden Infa and Lackley Glenties. Reposing in Shovlin's funeral home, Sandfield Ardra until 6 o'clock this evening followed by removal to the Church of the Holy Family Eden Infa for 6:45 to repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Burial in Eden Infa graveyard. House private, please, at the request of the family. And the death has taken place of Hugo Doherty, 2 Muckish Avenue, Letterkenny, reposing at his sister Anne Ramsay's residence at 2 McNeely Villas. House strictly private at the request of the deceased, please. Funeral mass tomorrow at 11 o'clock in St. Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Comwell Cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.